Today on Wings, stories from the long, busy life of Madhura Chhatrapati, a manufacturer who builds opportunities for women in India.
In the beginning, it was the older women, 40 plus, 50 plus, having had their, as they call it, putting away two children and being free, wanting to learn. They would come and start businesses. But over the period of time, the younger generation are coming. It's no longer waiting to be getting married, then having children, then do the business.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings.
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service.
There are many niches in the world of manufacturing, and today's Wings program features a woman who occupies several of them. Her factories make components for processed food, such as tamarind powder, and she also organized women in India's shoe industry to get better jobs and more pay and recognition for the work that they do. After breaking into industry herself, she founded a group to help other women make their way in the field. Her old friend Indu Ramesh interviewed Madhura Chhatrapati for Wings. Indu's daughter gives the introduction.
Hello, I am Aparna Devgiri from Bangalore in India. I am part of a small group of women here who are passionate about radio. We love reporting on women and the fantastic work many of them are doing, especially in the rural areas, working with women who have been denied education and who have not known what is happening in the world. Recently, we met a very special individual, Madhura Chhatrapati, who is an industrialist, especially in the area of components of food products, who has started an organization to help women come into industry, who has transformed the handmade footwear production in the north of the state into an international company, who is a Rotarian, a president of a club, and has also been the first woman Rotary governor in Asia. Indu Ramesh talked to her extensively on a Sunday afternoon, and here we present excerpts from the interview.
Thank you for that introduction. Greetings to Wings listeners. It's a pleasure to speak to you.
Madhura was tutored at home. That itself was something special for us, who went to school in whichever place our parents were working. Indu asked her about it and Madhura said,
"Though I was tutored at home by a tutor who came and taught, it was the good old days, so I was a single student learning from a teacher. But my father was an outgoing and very encouraging parent, and so was my mother. So I was not asked not to mix with the boys, which was the usual thing even for young children. But I played with all my age people around me, which were boys. So I played all kinds of games the boys played, and I had no inhibition of being a girl. Nor did my family say, you're a girl. Secondly, my father was a social entrepreneur, I would say. He was in public life, organizing many things, doing many things. So he let us be part of it. So we were exposed to larger society from the childhood. I still remember when we had the independence, I was a little child, yet I remember my father organizing, orchestrizing the whole city, asking the trucks, buses, cars and everything you can imagine to make noise at 12 o'clock in 1947, when we were given the independence in midnight. That was the kind of exposure I had. Thanks to that, getting into larger society wasn't a problem. I was not inhibited by anything. While I entered college, I lost my mother. So I was managing home, I was going for flying, doing everything. Very tight schedule I followed for 5 years of the college. So then I finished my degree, what you call undergraduation. I didn't want to do anything. I took a break doing all kinds of activities for women. So I joined a little later a college where they were offering journalism. I was doing marketing. I used to be a very active student, secretary, etc. Then suddenly a set of people who got displaced from Uganda, women, came to this college. And they requested, can you teach us spoken English? Because we've come from Uganda, we speak our Gujarati, nothing more. They were Indians from Uganda. No, these were women from business class, so they were not refugees. So they were speaking fluent English. Our principal said, why don't you teach? So I took on that without knowing what was teaching English. But we had a regional college of English from where I took some inputs to start off the class. That gave me a closer exposure to women and their issues. Therefore, I was getting drawn to gender issues even before the International Year of the Women. So that was one breakthrough which made me draw to perhaps do something more. So when I was doing all this, I realized that often, you know, the employment and recognition opportunities are not created for women. We would do more charity rather than giving them economic opportunity to develop themselves. So I wanted to start a business which can employ more women and give them...
What was this business?
This was food processing. I chose that because you didn't need too much of technology. As a person cooking all the time, you know how to cut a vegetable or do something else, and you could clean up with, you know, products, and you could prepare it for dehydration. So I could create large scale, not so skilled women could join, get into employment. So that's how I started my food business. Just before starting a food business, fortunately for me, there was also a training in the Central Food Research Institute, which is there in Mysore. So I got trained in dehydration technology. So I can call myself a technologist in the true sense of the word. And it has helped me in building my business.
That kind of a dehydration of food is like ready-made food you just boil in water.
No, I didn't make instant.
But you made it for a specific group?
Yeah, products are customized products for food manufacturers. I produce ingredients which becomes part of their product. For instance, the Pepsi's Lay chips, which is made in India, they use all kinds of tastes from my company. So most of the good taste that you like in Lay comes from me. So it depends on who and for what they need. That's why my company produces customized food ingredients. So I've been in the business for past 33 years.
Indu asked Madhura about the organization Awake, and Madhura explained how it came about and how it's working now.
Well, it was in 1982, the Rotary Club of Bangalore South gave awards to 7 women as outstanding women entrepreneurs. The P's to E's, we said, pickle powders, electronics and engineering and everything under the sky. I mean, we wanted to let know the world women were already there. And so therefore, we 7 of us, which included the famous Kiran Majumdar of Biocon India, and one Shandrila Naidu, who made face powders, a hat manufacturer, but she was a second generation family business person, many things of that kind. I was there as a food processor, that kind of thing. So we all got together when we were on the dais. We said, why don't we do something for others? Let's organize an organization and through which we could help others. So everybody agreed, and thus the thought for a new organization was born. Well, it was very natural for women to take to something they were familiar with. So we created Awake, the Association of Women Entrepreneurs of Karnataka. Well, we started off with Karnataka, but it is of Karnataka, not for Karnataka. So therefore, we went beyond Karnataka as well. It was first located in my office at that time. But the moment we announced, people started coming to to ask for suggestions for how do I go to a bank, or how do I do this, or how do I do that, how do I go register my business. So they started coming in so often. Every day I would have people coming in, I would talk, then I realized I need to organize myself and organize a proper name and the way to do this kind of thing. So we called it business counseling, and we decided that it will be 2 days, Thursdays and Tuesdays, they could come at 2:30. As we grew, we realized that it was even 2 days was too much, even though we shared the time and others came and helped. We said, let's make it Thursdays, till date. After 30 years, it's still on a Thursday afternoon, 2:30, you go to AWAKE, you can get your business counseling.
Somebody, what kind of business women want to do?
Well, it is a changing world now. When we started, it was like even we had done a survey with our finance institute here of the state to find out what are the women doing. 14% or more were in food processing because they were familiar. The other was clothing and, you know, those kind of things. So therefore, after my visit to United States, we started a business incubator for food processing, first of its kind in this country. One question people ask, don't you feel threatened? You're in food business. Would you encourage somebody else? One, I've been in business for 33 years. I feel threatened, number one. Number two is that I'm in dehydration. Somebody wants to make pickle, I lose nothing in telling her. Even if you ask me on dehydration, I'll tell them which is the best dryer home to buy from. Many things of that kind. I don't have to give my proprietary information to her. But I can give all other information, what is available in the public domain. So I can handhold, I can send them to a good consultant. So after 10 years, we did another study of all the people who had come for counseling from the records, how they are changing trend. In the beginning, it was the older women, 40 plus, 50 plus, having had their, as they call it, putting away two children and being free, wanting to learn. They would come and start businesses. But over the period of time, the younger generation are coming. It's no longer waiting to be getting married, then having children, then do the business. Perhaps as they get out of the college, even while they are in the college, they want to get into business. So it's a different world. It's a changing world. It's good to see that. But then those who started early days, they've done so well. One of the models of AWAKE is that we decided that we will not be a collective bargaining forum. What happens when we get together, we become like we want concession from government, we want this, we want that. We didn't ask anything from the government. And also a banker who came said, don't ask for any special treatment. That stayed with us. And we don't really, instead it's the other way around. The government departments calls us and says, we have this new scheme, we have this new event. If anybody to recommend, they'll ask us and take from us. So we haven't gone into any special consideration request or anything from government. And all our entrepreneur, the membership is open only to our established entrepreneur, in the sense with their business established and recorded in the government, etc. The others who come for counseling, etc., it's free. Once they decide to start business or start something new, we give them a provisional membership. And once they establish their business and it becomes regular, they become members. So that's an incentive to become a startup. To make the startup, because they first are eager, but sometimes they hesitate. But in this case, they know we are there to handhold. Usually we are people with a couple of years of background in our business. And so we all give our voluntary time. And also, since we are in multiple sectors of business, we are able to point to them one senior person from that sector they want to get into, to whom they go and take further counseling, specific sectoral requirements, domain requirements. They get to know from someone who's already done it.
are many niches in the world of manufacturing, and today's Wings program features a woman who occupies several of them, Madhura Chattopadhyay. After breaking into industry herself, she founded a group to help other women make their way in the field, and she also organized women in India's shoe industry to get better jobs and more pay and recognition for the work that they do.
We found that women were involved very much in many activities, but they were not acknowledged.
I am Aparna Devgiri from Bangalore in India. What fascinated me most was Mathura's organization of the footwear makers of the northern district of our state. The footwear, known as Kolhapuri, is handcrafted with heightened ethnicity and natural finish. It is the labor of an entire family. The Asian Center for Entrepreneurial Initiative was set up by Madhura when she was asked to help the footwear makers to get organized. The company she set up was appropriately named Toehold. It is an organization which helps women to be equally responsible in the process of manufacturing the footwear and get recognized as partners. Let us hear Madhura about the exercise.
The leather would come from North India, the raw hide, in a truckload that needed to be unloaded from a truck and loaded into the factory. All that thing the women did. It was very interesting. It was looking almost like men whistling for the moment a truck came and you could run and get your grab your job. There was nice network the way women were working. The tea shop in the roadside would see a truck coming with a thing. That fellow would stop and have tea, and the shopkeeper will check where is he going, which factory, and he would get the information and inform these women, and the women would run and catch that contract. But this was never acknowledged as women being part of the tanning industry.
What is the numbers like? How many?
It was very large numbers because it depends on the factory, how large it is. That area is full of that. And the neighboring communities, it was in not in hundreds, but even in thousands. And the girls were employed also as casual labor because they always felt these girls will get married and go away. That is always the practice here in India for a long time. Now it has changed, but in those days. So they would not be trained to do a better job. They would not be offered a better promotion or no, nothing. And therefore, interestingly, it was like, it may be odd to understand, but hard to understand this part, but I would like to say, is that one girl was, they were always material carrier. I bring the material which needs to be shaved, and once it is shaved, I take it away. There is an operator who manages that part of the machine part. Women were not there. So when he was on leave and all, having seen a girl used to help do that. But you know, the word used for that machine was shaving. Only boys shave.
Only boys.
So she was addressed like a boy. In India, we have two ways of calling, no? Boy and girl. So in Tamil, that part, if you say da, it's a boy. If you say di, it's a girl. But she was always called da. So she was feeling bad.
She was not accepted. The worker was not recognized as a woman.
Yeah. So these are kind of peculiar situations in which we work. So it was a very interesting concept. And there was, for instance, a very good, using this religion part only to emphasize how it happens for good also. There are lots of Muslim tanneries. One of the very good tannery, positive person, had created a whole finishing line as a separate department and employed only women. So there they polished, they did everything on the machine. They were given an opportunity because of the exclusivity. So we recommended that such exclusive departments be created in every tannery. So that took me to the leather sector. And then when there was an evaluation of a leather machine in India by UNDP, we were taken to this place called Athani, which is in Belgaum district, a small town
with say 45,000 people, so population. But at the edge of this town was a community of footwear makers. Because in that area, interestingly, these footwears are made in bison leather. Bison hide, not cow hide. And because in that area, bison is very largely available. The tanning processes were also eco-friendly process using vegetable tanning material. And women were partly included in the footwear making. There was a very clean division of work. Men fashioned the tough leather for the sole, and women did their intricate upper weaving and designing. So there was a division of work and women were involved. But however, the entire UN project, that particular project, was people who implemented were gender blind. They never gave any training to women. They gave only training to men.
How about payment for women? Was it full payment?
No, they are not labor. It's a very interesting thing even now. They are, each home is a producing home. So men and women together work in the home on the footwear. So there's no labor. They sell and get their profit. So therefore it's profit sharing. There's no labor. It goes to the family. So there's no... what is the money they got is not the question. It's between the husband and wife and the parents-in-law, etc.
So is there any chance of women having a word of her own?
That's what we have created now. So that was the scene. So we wrote strongly. I wrote person that the women's work is not taken into account in the earlier report or effort. Women were not trained in technology or improvement or anything. Only men were taken. And so we felt the process of was not right and it needs a different approach. And investment in artisan sector was very low by the UNDP. So what happened is that at the end they asked me, why don't you do something about it? That's how I got drawn into the leather and footwear making. Quickly to say that we took up the project, our first effort was empowering both. We formed self-help groups so that there are ways to enter the community and bringing them together. So the rivalry, competition, everything slowed down because they were meeting together. At least they get to know everything that was happening. And then we started off training in technical skills by Central Leather Research Institute, which is a premier institute. They went for a program. It was a residential program. The husband and wife went for 10 days of training. Together. We believed in getting the men also involved, but in money matters, it all belongs to women, because men were in debt trap with the traders. They were also slightly alcoholic, so we felt the money is better with the women. So the self-help groups women own this organization called To Hold Artisans Collaborative. And women are equally involved. Now they hold
when
the money.
When I buy a pair of footwear from Toe Hold,
yeah.
Which part is the woman's contribution to?
The upper part. The upper of the footwear. The lower is made by men. So it's a familial business. Still it continues as one. It's decentralized production, centralized marketing with a brand called Toe Hold.
Now we come to something which most of us want to do but are not really able to. The Chamber of Commerce in the state is naturally male dominated. They have a ladies' wing which was supposed to look after their charity and other ladylike activities. Madhura changed all that. So also the Rotary Club.
Well, I have been in every other organization, for instance, the Association of Food Scientists and Technologists. I was one of the early office bearers. I held the first food expo in the country, international expo, those kind of things. So no place, I feel, has been a challenge to me because I am going as a business person. As long as I perform well, I am accepted. The gender doesn't cross my head. But only when it jars something, I do take a stand. It is not feminist, as they call it. I don't have that location. But I look at it when it is not properly handled. In the Chamber of Commerce in the country, slowly once the International Year of the Women, 1975 happened, everything women became important. So they created a women's ladies' wing, as they called it, in our Chamber of Commerce. And mostly members like me were supposed to be there actively. So fortunately, one of my mentors and well-wishers was the president and one more person whom I had known. I told them, look, I'm coming as an entrepreneur, period. I have the same business. I have the business registration. I have my turnover as per which I pay you fees. So why am I to be in the ladies' wing? So please knock down that ladies' wing as a product, I mean, as a, you know, division of your chamber. Give the women positions and different committees and, you know, encourage them to be part of the mainstream. And we have our specialization. For instance, tourism. There is a lady who has got a nice restaurant. We all know her. She's been there on it for many years. So get her into that committee, you know. I'm in manufacturing or call it SME or entrepreneurship. Put me in that committee because that's my specialization. I can contribute. There are chartered accountants women who can be in that finance committee. So don't make women into a separate wing. So they knocked it off. That's all. What we need to do is not fight, not make a street fight. Go to the right people, talk to them. Often it is this big declaration that gets everybody het up against you. Nobody knew the transition happened in chamber. Even now people wonder when it happened. So just get it done. So I believe in that kind of approach whenever the gender issue comes. And I talk to every entrepreneur who happens to be a woman, that you don't have to go and tell people, look, I'm a woman entrepreneur. What are you doing for me? Go and say, I'm an entrepreneur. They can see you're a woman. If that organization has something special, they'll say, it's a great idea. Well, you've come. We have the scheme. Maybe the bank. We'll consider under that. You can get this benefit. They'll tell you. You don't have to tell. So this, I don't believe in sticking a badge on my shoulder to say, I'm a woman.
So there, you just heard what one person can achieve in making a world of difference for thousands of women from diverse backgrounds, illiterate or highly educated, tradition-bound or upwardly mobile, some needing to be pushed, and some who can take off with just an idea.
Thank you for listening. This is Indu Ramesh with Aparna Devagiri and Emma Ramamurthy saying goodbye and good listening from Bangalore, India.
To hear Wings programs again, email wings@wings.org or visit our page at facebook.com/wingsradio. Wings thanks all our supporters, including your local community radio station, Suzette Cullen, and Genevieve Vaughn, author of the new book, The Gift in the Heart of Language, The Maternal Source of Meaning. The Wings sound logo is from Libana's album, A Circle is Cast. I'm Frieda Worden. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.